Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show where top-tier entrepreneurs, experts, and innovators drop the real talk on how public speaking isn't just a skill, it's a strategic weapon for skyrocketing your business and your brand. Today's episode is not about fluff, filler, or generic advice. It's about bridging the gap between what's technical and what's truly human. We're talking about the soft skills that make hardcore impact. If you've ever struggled to translate your genius into influence or wondered why the smartest person in the room isn't always the most successful, this is the episode for you. Because today's guest, he's not just a cybersecurity badass. He's on a mission to humanize tech and rewrite the rules of technical communication. Evgeny Karam. It's not an easy name to pronounce, but it is one that should be remembered. He's built different. He's a cybersecurity architect, a best-selling author, podcast host, advisor, and media strategist who has spent the last 25 years navigating the trenches of technical sales, enterprise consulting, and digital transformation. He's the guy tech companies call when they're stuck in complexity and need someone who can speak human while solving highly technical problems. He's climbed the corporate ladder from firewall grunt to VP at the Herjavec Group. He's founded two industry-shifting podcasts, and now he runs EK Cyber and Media Consulting, helping businesses sharpen their technical edge while leveling up their communication game. But here's what makes him different. He knows the skills like empathy, storytelling, and clear messaging aren't just nice to have in tech. They're non-negotiable for connection, credibility, and closing the damn deal. He's the author of Architecting Success, The Art of Soft Skills in Technical Sales, where he lays out a roadmap for turning dry data into dynamic conversations and gives technical pros the tools to lead, influence, and convert. Whether he's on stage, behind a mic, or on a ski slope, hosting a cybersecurity conference, Evgeny shows up with clarity, curiosity, and the kind of confidence that only comes from real earned expertise. So let's get to it. Welcome to the show, Evgeny.
Thank you very much. I have a feeling I have to steal your intro. You did a better job than I did. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I'm just thrilled to have you here. As I shared with you before, you are the smartest guy in the room, maybe in the audience. I am stunned by the things that you've accomplished. You've had over two decades in cybersecurity. Great. I want you to rewind this. I want to know what the moment was that you said, this is it. This is the path that I'm going to build my life on. Tell me what led up to that. I'm interested in your story.
Oh, it's an interesting one. I always was a geek. I always was fascinated by technology and innovation. I was learning computing science in school and then in college later on, and spent 5 years in the Navy, in Israel Navy, and had the opportunity to play with many different things that I cannot tell you about them, but it definitely sharpened my technology skills, and I learned a lot about computers, about networking, operation systems, and much, much more. When I finished Navy, kind of by mistake, because I was not sure what I want to do, I joined a very big cybersecurity vendor called Checkpoint. And I spent 2 years there as a QA analyst testing firewalls for enterprises. This was my beginning of the very, very deep journey in cyber. And it connected well because I was passionate about technology, but I didn't know cyber yet. So I was able to connect my knowledge in electronics, computers, networks, OS systems, and cybersecurity. Later on, I moved to Canada about 18 years ago, and I started to work for a company used to call Hojove Group. For the audience, if you watch Shark Tank in US, Robert Hojove, the good shark, the Croatian guy, he had a very successful business in cybersecurity. I joined, we were about 16 people in 2006, so right in the beginning, and I was with the company for 17 years, almost 17 years, before I left, I call graduated about 2.5 years ago, and started my own journey. And I had the opportunity to work with enterprises in Canada, in Europe, in US, quite large companies to house them on a variety of projects. And at the same time, as a second-time immigrant, it wasn't always easy to explain what's happening, to understand what the customer wants and explain them in the language they want to understand. And I was trying to understand because of not perfect English, in some cases accent, of course, and I used to speak quite quickly as well. What are the best strategies to explain people the very technical concepts? And this is the time when I slowly got to the point where public speaking in general is so fundamental, is so important, and definitely the last 5 years were very busy in this space.
I definitely want to know all about what you do. Obviously, it would take to cover the expansive knowledge that you have. But since you mentioned it so early on, let's talk about public speaking, because as you say, 17 years at one company, but you've worked in different countries. Communication is a big challenge. If you just speak one language, people doing it successfully, then on top of it, add to it speaking technology to technology people and to non-tech people, you really would have to become a communication expert to be able to master all that you're trying to accomplish. First of all, how'd you do that? Did you grow up in a family that spoke multiple languages?
We all spoke Russian when we grew up in USSR. Then we moved to Israel. We learned Hebrew. Then we moved to Canada. I moved myself. Then we learned English. From a variety of levels, we all learn. But I cannot claim that my family is very deep in communication, more technology people. For me, it was try and error, discovery, understanding, paying attention. This was the beginning of potential active listening, empathy, and probably one of my favorite soft skills, curiosity. I'm very curious, used to be and still very curious, sometimes too much, to understand what make people work. Basically not work, what makes them tick, what's working, what's not working. So even in the early days, when I will explain something, I will watch the body language. I will try to understand, do they understand? Do I need to repeat? Because I knew I'm speaking fast. I knew English is not perfect. I knew there's an accent. And slowly, I now have a variety of tools or toolkit that I know what's working, what's not working, almost like a very experienced technician that will come to your home to fix something. They will have a big bag and they will know which tool to use when and where.
So let's talk about that. Yes. I'd like to hone in on that because obviously I've spent quite a bit of time giving people tools to create their speaking career, get started, do it effectively, make it an easier process. But on your end, you have some specific tools that I would love for you to share with the audience. It'll give them a peek into what the possibilities are for them moving forward, especially where they have gaps.
100%. So let's start from one of the first ones that I realized. And when you realize something, you're like, oh my God. And then you start research and you realize that people wrote about this long time ago. You just didn't know about it.
Nothing's really new.
Yes. So when we will go to a customer, I'm going to be 15 people that I never saw in my life. And I needed to explain about architecture of something. I'm not going to go to details. I'm a cool person, so I will describe how it's working and we'll be very energetic about this. And then I'll come out and people are like, Dude, there's no way you're so passionate about this technology. I'm like, yeah, like there's probably, it's probably working, it's probably true. There's no way you will be so attached. And like, oh, okay. So the more passion I put to my speech, the more I care, it's actually going to be like catching fire. People will catch this momentum. And even if my English is not perfect, going back, because this is what's my problem, maybe they didn't understood everything, especially in US, certain places was very hard. It worked. And I started to watch other people present. And if somebody will present and they will know the material really well, but they were going to be very monotone, they never change anything how they speak, and they'll basically put everyone to death because they'll never change anything in the piece. It's,
Yep.
wait a second, this doesn't work. They're very knowledgeable, but there's no emotion. It's very static. It's like all these stories about the professors. Okay, I'll do my best to put as much emotion when I'm speaking. And it will be true. I will not be faking because I believed in what I created and what I built and what I designed for people. So this was, and still, number one. If you're talking about something and you care about it, and I hope you care, put as much passion as you can. And if you think it's too much, probably crank it a bit more.
You think it's too much? Crank it up a little bit more.
Yeah. Again, yeah, talking about certain type of people. If you are an amazing speaker and you've been speaking for your entire life and singing in theater, probably not apply to you because you've already been doing this all your life. But if you're afraid and you don't know what's going to happen, if people are going to care or not care, this is where you do that. And this will work. This will be a bit of trial and error, but this is probably number one that worked for me. And then, of course, you're going to refining state. You're trying to understand, okay, I'm speaking too fast. I need to learn to slow down. Not always easy. Okay, this is going to be an interesting and very important part because it may open a different Pandora box. Think about that. When your computer is working and working too much or too fast, CPU is the main processing unit, and you cannot open any window. Everything is stuck. You know what I'm probably talking about.
Yes, I've had expletives in those moments when it's stuck.
Yes, but you need to open the document. You need to open the Zoom meeting. Nothing is working. You have to wait until it finished thinking about stuff and you can do this. Why I'm talking this, I'm basically doing a metaphor that if your brain is so busy to be scared, to think what's going to happen, what's it going to think, then your brain doesn't have enough sequences, cycles to think about how you speak, to think about what to say, to present yourself better, to learn to slow down, because every cycle in your brain is thinking about being scared. So if you learn how to relax, if you learn that you can be okay there, and you understand that you can actually present what will happen when you being relaxed, your computer inside your head now have enough cycles to pay attention how you speak, to pay attention that you need to slow down, to pay attention that you need to have an eye contact, to pay attention to use your voice better, to look on the slides. You have enough CPU cycles, brain cycles, the way you want to call it, to do all this. Guess what? It's also can now watch our amazing filler words because I can now pay attention. And instead of saying, hi, I'm Evgeny, today I'll present to you about my book because I'm so nervous and so stressed. And unfortunately, many people tell, oh, just remove filler words. It's like, how can I remove filler words if I don't pay attention? I have them. I don't know I'm doing that. I'm so stressed about what I need to say. So I need to remove, replace the stress to be able to pay attention to my filler words and replace them with pauses. Then I can have a tiny pauses between words. I'm now sound more clean. I can slow down and it's open up new functionalities and new capabilities to a person. But now we're going to refining how you communicate, refining what you do. But the idea is there is you need to learn how to be relaxed.
And we're talking about fear. I could not agree more. You know what? It's so powerful what you're saying and so helpful to people out there, especially those that do. I'm going to say right off the bat, people that have a heavy accent, that can be challenging, right? You've had people on your podcast and you know what it is when they come on board and you want to have this communication. And slowing it down is such a powerful move. It works across the board, but breathing is so important. Taking a breath and relaxing. I just could not agree with you more. But what I appreciate is, even in this interview, is when you slow it down, especially if you're from a different language, a different culture, and you're trying to get this across, there's a rhythm to every language. And you have to allow the listener, and in this case for me, if I'm the interviewer, to catch the rhythm. It's a dance. I always feel anytime I'm interviewing someone, I think of it personally, it's a dance. And we have to find that rhythm together so we move well together. We might move great separately, but when you come together, it can be a little clumsy. And when there's the introduction of a different language, I have to catch the rhythm with the other person. You do this exceptionally well. And I appreciate it as someone who's enjoying interviewing you, because I can feel the dance. I can feel it catch.
You mentioned breathing. Can we go deeper in breathing part?
Please. It's everything in life. It's not just speaking. If people took the chance to breathe, it automatically calms you down.
So we'll talk about this in a second. But I think the most important part, that it's free. You don't need to pay money to anyone. Okay, it's literally free, and it's probably the best drug we can have to go high or to relax, and free completely. But here's the interesting part. When we breathe fast, in most of the cases, our heart rate goes up. When we're scared, our heart rate usually goes up as well. When our heart rate is slow, it's very hard to be scared and very hard to panic. Like, it's very hard to panic with a slow heart rate. We don't really see people that meditate and they panic in the same time. Like, you are panicking or meditating? You can one of them ask, why am I doing this? Because when I told you 10 minutes ago, learn to slow down. You can tell me, but I cannot. I'm panicking. I cannot slow down. I need help. Okay. So what if we use breathing to slow down your heart rate and automatically, mechanically calm yourself down? You didn't invent this, but there is a number of breathing techniques. Yoga breathing called 1-2-2, inhale for 3, exhale for 6, inhale for 4, exhale for 8, or one of my favorite, box breathing. When we inhale 4-4-4, for example, or 5, hold for 4 or 5, exhale 4 or 5, hold 4 or 5. What just happened? A human being, by studies, not me, usually breathes 12 to 20 breaths per minute, usually around 15. With box breathing, when each part is 5, we just have a cycle of 20 seconds. It's mean we move from 15, 12 to 3 per minute. If you breathing like that for at least 2-3 minutes, I guarantee, if not, take your money back, your heart rate will slow down by 15, 20 beats, whatever you have the normal heart rate. What will happen with you? You will actually normalize yourself. You panic, you fear, whatever you have, will go down as well. And it's going to be easier for you to actually do what we're talking about. And it's working magically in my mind when we do that. Here's another interesting part. People may tell, but Evgeny, I don't have 3 minutes to do this before I present. Or somebody asked me a question and I need to answer and I don't know what to say and I'm panicking. Guess what? If you do box breathing every day for 2-3 minutes, You will remember the feeling you had in the end of the activity. So if somebody, excuse me, asking you to do something and you don't have time, you can mentally remember how you felt in the end of the activity. The same as you will remember how you feel when somebody hugging you, while you're eating your favorite food, whatever is the activities you're doing during your life. And it will basically almost like an anchor, it's actually a term, will bring you to this situation. For me, if I'm going to such a situation when I'm panicking, I will breathe in and I will just do very long exhale, and it will bring me to the same position when I do box breathing, for example. And these techniques can really help you to normalize yourself and prepare yourself for unknown.
Oh, it's interesting too. Actually, I love this. This is such a helpful technique and I use it too. I think it's powerful, box breathing. And a point I'd like to make on this is, do you find, at least this has been my experience, slowing down breathing itself is contagious. You do it automatically, right? Everybody does. But all someone has to say is breathe or take a breath or whatever. And whether you like it or not, if you're in the room, you'll change your breathing. And what's interesting is if someone is on the stage and you can feel them take a breath, it's almost an automatic response that connects us. And I find it fascinating. I find that fascinating to me. It's like yawning. If someone yawns and then it's contagious, it's the same with breathing. And sometimes all you have to hear is someone say the word breathe or take a breath. Whether you like it or not, you do it anyway.
Mimicking.
Fascinating.
There's another part here to conclude this. We spoke about fear. We spoke about breathing. Here's an interesting part. Fear and excitement are very close to each other.
Yeah.
Fear is we don't know the outcome. Excitement, we know the outcome, but it's really much the same. My example I usually do and say is if you take a child and you tell them go down the slide first time, they will be very scared because they don't know the outcome and the slide is very big. But the moment they do it first time, they'll say again, because now fear moved to excitement. And if you think about this example, when someone asks you to speak to one person, to two people, to 5,000 people, you may be scared, but are you scared? Or are you excited because the stakes are bigger, because it's more important? And if you're able to change the mental mode of fear to excitement, your approach will change. When I present, I'm still scared, and I know I will be scared, but I understand I'm not actually scared. I'm excited because it's a new people, new opportunity. I don't know the outcome. I never met these people. So I'm totally okay with feel like that because I understand it's actually excitement and not fear.
This is a terrific mindset. Truly setting your mind to these things, so much part of being successful as a speaker. But one of the things I noticed that you said that really resonates for me, anybody who's listened to this interview, this conversation, already gets the feeling about you that you are interested in life. You are interested, goes back to something my mom told me when I was a child. Your number one job in life is to be interested and interesting. And she focused on interested. And you are the questioner. You are the one that wants to know more. And people feel that off you. That's an energetic position to take. I would also say with speaking, one of the things that helped me, because I'm truly an introvert, I always felt that way, that the mindset is how do you feel about yourself when you get up there? But the audience is for you. You should always walk into a situation with the audience is for you. And most of them in the room are for you because they don't want to be you. They don't want to be on the stage. So they are rooting for you from the beginning. There may be people that want to compete to be on the stage. That's there. But really, I think I always walk in thinking, what a wonderful group of people. And I can't wait to speak to them. And I'm looking to speak with them. I'm looking to connect. And I'm coming with open energy. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I have no idea how it's going to turn out, but I walk into it with, this is going to be a positive experience. And I have the fears too. I have the discomfort. But once you get up there, the game changes. And now it's about connection. And now I'm just interested. Hopefully I'm interesting, but I'm certainly interested in this experience.
A long time ago, you mentioned about they don't want to be you. I remember I was at a conference and somebody was speaking and he made some mistakes and moved on. And he was doing some jokes. I'm like, wow, I don't even imagine one day I will be able to speak like that. This is just incredible. So I laughed. It was more than 14 years ago, probably. And then you started present here, there. What I realized to myself, when we watch Hollywood, for us, oh my God, this is people on different level. I'm never going to be like them. And it's fine. But when you watch someone present and they make a mistake, they laugh about this, they move forward, they're very down to earth, even so they polished. Hold on a second. They're not fully polished. They make a mistake. They're a human being. One day, I maybe become like them. So I change what I was thinking 14 years ago, that it's actually easier to make mistakes than always being polished, like in Hollywood. Because for them, it's hundreds of hours, and it's probably retook several times and many takes. We don't know if they're so polished in real life when you meet them. And it changed the way I presented. So for example, during COVID, when I needed to record my presentation for a conference, I decided that for me, it will be like a real presentation. The moment I'm starting speaking, and it's more than 20 seconds, and I'm making mistakes, I'm just continuing. I'm not stopping. There's no cuts. There's no takes. If I made a mistake, I'll just say, oh, sorry, I messed up, and move the slides and we'll continue talking. I will treat this as a real presentation, in live presentation, where I don't have an option to restart, to re-record or change something. And it really helped me to push through and adapt my mistakes, own my mistakes, realize it's actually not so scary to make a mistake. Of course, if you're making mistakes every minute, it's going to look bad. But if you had one or two, even three mistakes during the entire presentation, so what? Who cares? People will see you real. People will actually connect to you better.
I think so, too. I think you're absolutely right. I think people really champion you even more when you've made a mistake. I'm a recovering perfectionist. That was the upbringing. So I call it that because really the message I got as a kid was whenever you put something out in writing, etc. It's your best self. You put out your best work. The world has changed a lot. I still have that inside me, but it's interesting doing this podcast is that I really learned to be okay with however it turned out because I'm there with the right intention. I rarely ever have to fix anything. I just go with it. And if there's a botch, okay, but we're here together. That's the most important part. And I'm here to bring my audience great people that really can make a difference if they're paying attention. And then I hope I've always honored my guests. And then if there's some mistakes along the way, there you go. Like your name is such a challenge, right? Iovic.
I'm almost sorry about that, but I'm really not sorry. So,
you're
so
not. Tell them why. We had a conversation about that because his name is challenging.
I'll tell you why, but there's a story behind it.
Okay.
For a very long time, I was having a very hard time with my voice. I was speaking quickly. I was stuttering as well. I will eat the end of the sentence. I have an accent. It was just very hard. I took a number of courses to remove the accent. And then in one point, I took voice developing lessons. And then my trainer, Tyler, told me, Yevgeny, seriously, you have a very low voice, like it's a very unique voice. You have an accent. If you remove your accent, you're going to just become another Canadian. Nobody's going to remember you because you're going to be speaking like everybody else in the country. But if you leave your accent and you I have already a deep voice. The combination will actually make people remember your voice. It's a very unique. I'm like, ooh, okay, this is interesting. And it's completely changed me. I accepted my voice. I spend more time to slow down, to pronounce words better. And this helped me also to like, okay, if I own my voice and my accent, then my name is okay as well. So why not?
Love it, owning it all. And you do have a beautifully resonant voice. And so I'm enjoying this dance very much. You just have a beautiful way of expressing yourself. And there is something very resonant about the tone of your voice. It's just unique. So that's fabulous. So let's go back to your company, because I want to talk about EK Cyber and Media Consulting. You really built this around simplifying complexity. I think that's really an interesting thought. You know, what gap were you seeing in the industry that made you decide it's time to create something different?
So my company is a consulting company that's consulting to other consulting companies. So I'm working this company in cybersecurity space that are vendors that create products and other companies that provide consulting services. And in many cases, it's a combination of a technical role and communication role, because I'm helping them to express their ideas in a different language. In many cases, I present with them or pitch their ideas to the customers. And I'm trying to understand what is the best technology or solution for the customer. This is where the technical part come in. But my communication skills and my understanding skills and connecting to customers, this was make it different for the services company. For the vendor in cybersecurity, is as interesting enough, is helping in most cases the technology people, the CTO, the chief technology officer, to present their ideas clearly, to explain what they do, to change the language in some cases, to potentially remove filler words, to remove buzzwords, to explain the ideas in a different language. It's a combination of stuff. And the podcast helped the brand. I meet people like that and definitely promote the stories as well. I also do quite a lot of panel moderations. My brain is a very monkey brain and ADD-ish. So doing panel moderation is quite a lot of fun because it's quite fast and engaging as well. So it's definitely a combination of different things. And the conference that we started 3 years ago was actually a test for the book. I was doing a snowboard trainer course and I realized it's so fun. I know everyone. Every time we go on a lift, I meet someone new and we're learning more about each other. So I came back from a training and I asked on LinkedIn, like, guys, girls, why are we not doing any conferences at the Hill? Why it's always golf? Why do I need to be stuck with three people for 3 hours? So I got good responses. And I spoke with a friend of mine that he is a partner at the private Hill here in Ontario in Canada. And the idea was that you going to a place where everyone dressed not fancy, only if somebody have a very fancy ski clothes or snowboard clothes. So you don't know, are there a CISO, CEO, CTO, executive, a student, a director? So you kind of level set this part. And it's totally fine on a ski hill to talk to strangers. Hey, is it you? Why are you coming to this mountain? Oh, I love the skis. How long have you been running this? Where it's completely fine to talk to strangers on a ski hill. And by the end of the lift, you may say bye, or you may be ski with them. So from a cybersecurity and connection, it was a perfect marriage. People can meet on the mountain. They can enjoy the hobby. We can still be professional. And it catched up really well. We did 3 years. And for me, there was a validation for the book about soft skills and connecting to people.
Love that. No one's had your story. I have to tell you, it's unique. And starting with snowboarding, how interesting to hear a new way of networking together outside of the usual, golf included. So, you know, right now with a world that's really obsessed with hard skills and certifications. That's just where we are. You've really made a powerful case for empathy and storytelling and communication. What do you think that people still get wrong with their soft skills?
So we have complaining, or you not have active listening, you're not empathetic enough. But I think it's all started with curiosity. And I mentioned this before. If I'm talking to you and I want to sell you this amazing cup, do I care if you like tea or coffee? Because if I don't care if you like tea or coffee, you're never going to buy a cup because you don't care about hot drinks. You maybe need a martini glass. So it's going to be something else. So I need to be curious enough first to understand who you are and what do you want and what do you need. And only after that, I can involve active listening. This is the part when I'm understanding what you need. And then I may have empathy after that to understand, do I need to tell you something nice because you're not feeling bad, if you're feeling bad, or something great and be happy with you because you had something great happening with you? Your empathy and active listening cannot start if there's no curiosity. I need to care about you first. I think this is one of the problems we have. Another part that we are not talking about a lot is vulnerability. Am I vulnerable enough? Or actually, am I strong enough to be vulnerable to ask you a question? Can you guide me? What's the better way to explain this idea? Can you guide me how we can move this deal forward? Can I guide you how this podcast is going to be happening? When we joined, you told me, Evgeny, I'm going to explain what's going to happen. I'm like, thank you very much. When I subscribe to be on the guest, you guided me by sending me emails to tell me what to expect. You knew what you need. You knew what you want, to the point that I made a smile on my face when, I think it was the second video, you told, if you're not going to have a nice microphone, we may need to be rescheduling this podcast. So you set expectation and guidance because you're a strong person, because you knew what you want. And it shows that you can guide people, but you can also open up. So vulnerability is such an amazing soft skills in my mind that fundamental in sales. Because if I'm a salesperson, for example, and I cannot tell you, we've been talking for the last few weeks, is there a budget for this initiative? What are you actually going to buy this quarter, next quarter? It's a vulnerability. It's not me being a macho or me being forceful. Depending on how I ask, I can be rude and ask, come on, you're spending all my time. Are you going to buy this or not? This is being rude. Or I can ask, like, hey, I just need to understand. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to explain more, but I also need to understand what's going to happen next. So this is open up because I may potentially be slapped on my fingers and say, nah, I'm just here to learn. And it's fine. It's fine if I get no from a customer because it's mean I don't need to spend more time. Or maybe I need to close this nicely and move on.
I love this perspective. I think this goes across all things. It goes across business. It goes across life. It goes across connection, this curiosity and asking questions. And I would love to share with you and ask you if you find some of the same challenges out there that I think, wow, if you just start paying attention, you will see this. I notice, and both my husband and I coach, I'm in sales, he's in sales. When you go to an event, no matter what the event is, whether it's a awards dinner, or let's say it's a networking group or a cocktail party, it doesn't matter. Do you ever notice when you go in, like I go with curiosity, and because I'm someone that it doesn't immediately love being in a crowd of people. I'm good at it. I have good skills in that because I've learned them. But really, in truth, it's not my favorite part when I first get there. And the best way to go about it is to ask questions, to get to know someone, be curious about them, and ask them questions. They love to speak about what's going on with them. Do you ever notice when you go in to talk with people, they talking about themselves better than they want to find out about each other. I find that stunning, right? Like they launch into, and here's what I do, and I got this, and I got that, and I think, wow, where's your question?
There's a chapter in the book about open and end-up style questions. And it's absolutely fundamental and part of connecting to people to understand what they can talk about. So we can do a quick example for people about open-ended questions, and then we'll talk about talking about themselves, because I have a very interesting experience about it, and I'll explain in a second. So first of all, if I ask you, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? Which one?
Burgundy.
Okay, great. Did this help me? No, because it didn't move the conversation anywhere. I just have a piece of information. Now, if I ask you, what's your favorite color and why? You have to, it's an open-ended question.
Yes.
Do you like the minivan car or the sports car? The minivan. Okay. Didn't help me at all. What kind of car you prefer and why? Or whatever it is. Can you elaborate? Can you tell me more? So now I can get more information from you to move the conversation. Now, you brought an idea about talking about himself. I have a friend. He's autistic. I didn't know. And he's in business, very smart. I started a new podcast about soft skills and communication to explore more this idea. And I did interview people during the book writing. So I'm talking to Brian, and he's actually telling me, again, I'm autistic. I was like, no, I didn't know. I'm like, oh my God, we have to record an episode about this. He's like, yes, I will be happy to do it. So don't tell me anything more. I don't want to know. We'll do an episode and we'll dive in. So we're diving in, and he's telling me about, I don't understand the small talk. I don't understand why people always need to talk about something, why we cannot get to the point. It's so irritating me. So we're talking about this part. And then we got to the point, like, it's just not for me. I'm like, Brian, wait a second. But every time you and me jump on a call, we're not talking about business. He just kind of stopped for a second. I was like, no, what are we talking about? He's like, okay, we talk about AI. Yes, what else we talk about? Okay, we talk about different vendors and how they promote. Like, yes. So, but this is not usually the topic of the conversation later on. We always start our talk and we talk about some small things. He's like, yes. So what's happened is you don't care about small talk that other people care. You care about the small talk about your hobbies. He's like, wow, yes, you're right. So the moment we touch the topics he cares about it, and it's native for us, then he's open up and we're going for a long talk about the things. But it doesn't mean that everybody else will do it. He will have a hard time talking about sports. He will have a hard time talking about the weather. This is not the topic he cares about. And where I'm going with this, everyone has some kind of a hobby. Maybe they're collecting stamps. Maybe they're building ships inside the bottles. That if you were able to understand and find the hook, they will talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fabulous point. We've got to find out, if we're going to communicate with each other, we have to find out, what does this person care about? How am I going to find that out? And you're only going to find that out through well-constructed questions, open-ended questions. So I love that this is how you think. It's so personalized. It makes business so much more personalized and still sends you in the direction of success. So I think that's just gorgeous. So tell me, with everything that you've done in communication being such a center of your business, so powerfully used, you could be remembered for one thing in your industry, in cybersecurity and the consulting world. What do you hope that legacy will be?
Probably ability to translate technical concept to the language other people understand. and other people. I'm not saying simplifying, because this could be depend on the person level and what they care about.
That's a legacy. And besides the fact that you are a dad of four, here you are a thought leader in tech. What are you hoping to model for the next generation of professionals coming after you?
That fear is something we can work with. That fear is something that can translate to excitement. And it's good that we have fear, because it makes us think, reflect, and then we can understand, do we need to run from the lion? Oh, it's not so scary. It's actually a kitty cat.
Ooh, that's a great place to end this. I love that. It's true. When you're in fear, you're not lazy. You're anything, but you're not lazy. You're alive. Your senses are alive. So it's worth embracing. Ah, Eugenie, thank you for hanging out with me today and pulling the curtain back on this world. Seriously, you took something that I think most people would find intimidating, like cybersecurity and technical sales, and you really made it not only understandable, but honestly, you're really badass. I love that. I really appreciate how much you shared your perspective here and your stories. And I hope you are willing to come back here again, because I'd love to have you on the show again.
Happy to do it.
A couple of standouts today, these soft skills that you talk about, they're not a side dish. They're the main course. If you're right, if you're trying to sell, lead, or communicate in a digital world, really, it's going to come first. And I am so grateful to have had you here. I think you put a different spin on things. If all of you out there want to learn more about Eugenie, head to his site at softskillstech.ca. Trust me, you want to grab this book, Architecting Success, The Art of Soft Sales in a Technical Sales Connect to Sell More. It's available on Amazon. It's on Audible, wherever you get your books. You can drive in, you can literally drive in right now to softskillstech.ca. Eugenie, everything about public speaking, I think this was so helpful to people out there. I hope that it was. You're really sending out the right message. And when I hear you, I breathe better. I think everybody does. I think that's certainly what you, if people aren't walking out going, I need to do more box breathing, tell me more about it. It's perfect. And it really lets people know public speaking, it's not about being flashy or perfect. It's just about being clear and being human and creating impact. Whether you're coaching a CTO or moderating a panel or delivering a keynote, he's proof when you know how to speak with people instead of at them, everything changes. So I cannot wait to have you back again. To everybody out there, if you enjoyed this conversation, please like it, share it. It's how we get to keep going. I love hearing what hits home for you. So your feedback is really helpful. And around here, we're all about sharing and showing you how public speaking is not just a skill you check off a list. It's a multiplier for your business, for your voice, and for the impact you're meant to make. So with that said, thank you everybody for being here. Thank you, Eugenie. This was truly a pleasure for me. This was a gift. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.